Dale Takitimu is with us as the Human Rights Commission calls for a human rights entity-based approach to AI. Dale says that our people's rights, data sovereignty and tino rangatiratanga must be at the centre of this country's digital future. Thanks for joining us once again, Tuahine. Tēnā koe, Dale.
Oh, morena, morena.
Thank you, Dale. Why is it so important that the treaty's embedded in the way our country develops and governs AI technologies, Dale?
Oh, well, of course, Te Tiriti is the foundation of the legal system in this country. It's our constitutional foundation. And so any development forward, particularly with a lens on human rights, needs properly to take Te Tiriti into account. It enables us a quite unique perspective in terms of pairing individual rights with collective rights. But it is our framework in terms of the existing legal system in New Zealand, and so therefore has a very prominent place in how we develop national infrastructure or national strategies going forward.
Are you seeing examples where AI is perhaps already creating risks for our people? Looking at issues like bias or cultural knowledge, language, data use, etc. Tituhine?
Oh, definitely, for sure. We've undertaken quite a robust process with a team of experts alongside us in developing this report and this contribution into the discussion about how and what New Zealand does with AI. And in that really robust discussion, we've of course examined and looked at the risks and harm, potential and real harm that has been done, and risks that pose themselves every day, and things we are anticipating will come in the future as AI is adopted even more within societies. We've also tried to balance that with the opportunities, the unique opportunities that AI provides. And so, like all national jurisdictions, New Zealand faces that issue about how to balance AI and its innovation potential and the opportunities that come from that. And in some spaces it can be a great enabler and a great equaliser, but also coupling those with ensuring that the space is safe and that harm is reduced, particularly to our most vulnerable populations.
I'm a bit out of my league here talking AI matters, Dale, to be honest. And so you know, your perspectives are very valuable as we try and understand its implications. We know that big tech has been really the producer of AI, and there is a nervousness about rogue robots and where this is all taking us. But when we look at the development and this period of development for these sorts of technologies and try and sort of develop a correlation or an understanding how mātauranga Māori, how the things we treasure are implicated in AI and its ongoing usage. For many, I'm picking like myself, just a little difficult to understand the correlation. Might you share a little more about that sort of thinking, how it could impact negatively te ao Māori, or how, indeed, as a proud First Nations people with our bank of mātauranga and knowledge, how we might utilise AI growth positively?
Well, I think first to acknowledge that there's a lot of work being done in this space, and Māori are actually innovation leaders in this space in Aotearoa and globally, and have become, like we have a history of being right from our migration from Hawaiki, early adopters and early adapters into new technology and the exploration of its potential, which is really, really exciting on the one hand. On the other hand, we've got to balance that against improper exploitation, appropriation, improper use of traditional knowledge, if that's in play, if that's a concern to people. And certainly we've started to see some of those things. There've been incidents that have arisen that people have brought to the media attention and into the public eye about either the appropriation of images or material with or without permission, and how that works in a collective rights framework is always going to be a challenge that needs to be wrestled with. And so what we see in the AI space is globally, it's as a technology, it's taken off and it's bolted largely by the investment that's been put into it by industry. And it has in some spaces been working ahead of where the regulatory regime has been. And what we're saying at the Commission is that any way forward for New Zealand in considering how to manage this, what is effectively a generational quantum leap in technology that will have an impact on a whole of society impact. We are trying to say at the outset of that, or relative outset of that, that human rights and te tiriti o waitangi and the people part should be prioritised, because we have taken a focus right from the beginning not on what the technology says we're allowed to do, but what our society requires us to do in terms of looking after our people and the human rights obligations that New Zealand has already committed to. And looking at their adaptability into new technology to say, are the current protections we have enough to deal with this quantum leap in technology that looks set and is already changing the way we do things on an everyday basis, and looks set to change that even more into the future? Or will we let the sort of market go unregulated in a way that we don't have those protections in place? And we're obviously advocating for a national digital infrastructure strategy to ensure that New Zealand is taking a really comprehensive, robust and considered approach to this.
The mining of data and big tech seems to operate globally with impunity. The issue of the establishment of AI data centres is perhaps a different one to matters that we're discussing. Do we have the legal frameworks and protection as we see organisations like Google or Musk can mine our information without consent? Is this a framework that needs to be developed to accommodate the huge and immediate growth of AI?
Yes, we do believe that some whole of society national digital infrastructure strategy needs to be really explicitly developed with human rights, te tiriti o waitangi, in its framework or creating the structure for that framework going forward. What we do know is that we have a number of human rights standards globally that New Zealand has signed up to and has decided they are good for our society in terms of the sort of guardrails for what's acceptable in human rights spaces. And we've got, of course, a depth of te tiriti o waitangi jurisprudence to also complement that. And what we're saying is that that applicability into new technology needs to be given some thought, but we do have a robust foundation for developing a New Zealand national response to that. Every jurisdiction globally, and some of the regional collections like in Europe and throughout Asia, are picking up the fact that as a national jurisdiction, we need to state a position. We need to basically be in charge of our governance and our interface with these technologies, and this is a start for that, and it's a contribution into the discussion. We hope decision makers will pick it up and give it food for thought in terms of a really robust but uniquely New Zealand approach to it, because doing nothing and not regulating this space is, we don't think, the ideal answer. And to just leave it open to the market or wherever technology and some of these big companies might take it, we're saying it needs a much more considered approach than that. Some of the issues about what Meta can do and what some of these big international juggernauts can do is really coming up against the friction, I guess, of our sovereignty and what we will do as a jurisdiction to protect the rights and interests of New Zealanders and the rights and interests of New Zealand knowledge within that space. And we're offering this report, having considered some of those curlier questions as food for thought and as a discussion starter, we hope, across the public sector but also into the private sector around what we recommend would be really the salient things for New Zealand to take into account when we're considering this space. It is new and innovative space, of course, and we're hoping to be new and innovative in the way that we also look to approach it. But in doing so, we're really encouraging a very deliberate, intentional exercise by New Zealand in the whole of society way, rather than in a piecemeal way. And there will be existing standards that we're able to lean into and strengthen and utilise, and there may be gaps where we need to supplement with additional law and additional structure to assist.
Tēnā koe. We know that big tech can sometimes buffer itself from local legislative expectations, and when we look at the global model, we know that these such large organisations with so much pūtea can actually manipulate governmental attitudes. So we've got that fight. And while I respect the amount of thinking and work you've put into furnishing a report of this nature, sadly, just as they can conveniently disregard Waitangi Tribunal findings, I guess the same applies to the Human Rights Commission. What sort of political sway does the commission have, and is it conceivable or occurring that at times the government, maybe even just this government, can completely ignore what's coming off the table from the Human Rights Commission, Dale?
Well, obviously we would hope they wouldn't completely ignore that. We are an organisation, the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, set up as the national human rights institution for this country, and part of the remit is to provide thought leadership into these spaces, and we're trying to do that in a very constructive way. Of course, there is a part of our remit to hold the government to account for human rights standards and the human rights implications of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And so quite often we're seen with that hat on a little bit critical of the government in certain spaces in terms of reminding them around their human rights obligations. That's not necessarily always the most welcome hat we wear, but this hat in particular, where we're providing thought leadership into new and innovative spaces in a really constructive way, I think shows some of the potential of the Human Rights Commission to lead some of these spaces, and instead of waiting down the track until something is developed without a human rights or Te Tiriti o Waitangi lens, and us jumping up and sort of saying, aha, you know, we've got criticisms of that, we're trying to come out early saying these would be our expectations, consistent with not the commitments the New Zealand Human Rights Commission have made internationally, but the commitments the Crown, the New Zealand government as a state has made internationally, and they've equipped the Human Rights Commission to hold them to account to those standards. So in that respect, we're certainly not a not we should be, I think, a trusted voice and a trusted advisor into some of those decision makings, because that's entirely set up to do.
Very inspiring, Kōrero. Thanks very much for all the thoughts and consideration you've put into this report. We will follow it through closely. AI is being embedded as we speak. We need to protect our mātauranga, and so that's something that we all need to be interested in and mindful of. With us today, legal representative for the Human Rights Commission, Dale Takitimu. Thanks, Dale, for joining us on the program.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. Thank you.